This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027.
Well, it's Africa Day, so we thought we would have a look at the work that the IFC is doing in Africa. And we know that financial inclusion is one of Africa's great success stories of the past decade. Mobile money solutions, things like M-Pesa. I think everyone knows the M-Pesa story by now. And I was recently chatting to Vodacom CEO Shamil Jusub, and he sees the network operator having 50 million mobile money customers within 3 to 5 years. And the IFC, which is a sister organization of the World Bank, is a major driver of not only financial inclusion, but also deepening Africa's markets and investing in startups which are driving economic expansion across the continent. I'm joined now by IFC country manager Salim Karimji. Evening, Salim.
Good evening, Michael. Thank you for having me back.
Now, we were talking about the African Free Trade Area on the show yesterday, and while that's obviously still a long way off and there's some political wrangling and negotiating that has to take place, the IFC has been playing an increasingly visible role across the continent, and you have been for decades, but over the last 2 or 3 years, one really gets a sense that the IFC is, as a VC player, really starting to make a big impact. What is the IFC strategy in sub-Saharan Africa in particular?
I wish I could show you the single slide, PowerPoint slide that we have that tries to describe that. It's a complicated picture. But really, there are three main legs to our strategy, Michael. One is trying to improve the, help governments to improve the business climate, the enabling environment, as we call it, in their countries for the private sector. Make it easier, make it more attractive for private companies to invest and grow, and therefore create jobs and economic development. The second is inclusion, which you mentioned in your introduction. We believe that there's a great need in sub-Saharan Africa for far more of society to be included in the formal economy. And inclusion means many things, financial inclusion, but also access to services, being able to participate in product markets, even if you're very small, being able to produce and sell your goods. So there are many aspects to inclusion. And then thirdly, we're taking quite a proactive stance on helping the real sector to develop, which happens through, on the one hand, supporting infrastructure investment in sub-Saharan Africa. Power is probably the biggest piece of infrastructure that Africa lacks, access to electricity. When you live in South Africa, you don't feel it as much because power is quite readily available here. But in the rest of sub-Saharan Africa, by and large, it's pretty dismal. But also transport and other forms of infrastructure, telecommunications, etc. And then finally, by helping the real sector, manufacturing, agriculture, services, more generally, investing in those.
And it's an exciting time if you look at the VC and private equity spaces in particular. We see a lot of fundraising going on with funds dedicated with mandates to invest in the region, be it in East Africa or West Africa or generally across the continent. What do you view the investor appetite like as the IFC? You obviously have a continental view, but a global view.
So yes, indeed, a lot of international capital is seeing Africa, the potential of Africa as an economy. And it's sometimes dangerous to speak of Africa as an economy because it's actually 48 different economies. But they see the population, they see the improvements in governance that are taking place, and they see the growth that's coming out of many corners of Africa, and they say, look, this is a market to invest in for the future. So there are other reasons. So I'm speaking there about capital in a generic sense, but there are also in the international capital markets, there are many pockets of capital that are looking for very specific things. So we've all heard about impact investors,
yep.
People who want to use their capital to create some form of social good. We've heard about green bonds and people who are looking for climate positive investment opportunities. And Africa presents many of the features that some of these special pockets of capital are looking for as well.
Now, I know Benjamin Franklin once said that there are only two things certain in life, death and taxes. He was absolutely right. Poverty isn't a certainty, and we can certainly go about eradicating poverty in Africa starting right now. What does this expanding nascent VC sector, particularly impact investing and the Sustainable Development Goal aligned investment mandates, what does that mean for Africa, which really needs to wean itself from its over-reliance on mineral resources to drive economic growth, the so-called Dutch disease that's really plagued the continent for far too long?
Absolutely, and it's not limited to minerals. It's there are certain countries which are very heavily dependent on oil exports. There are others which are super, super dependent on agricultural commodity exports. So Dutch disease spreads across. It's not peculiar to mineral exporting countries. So first and foremost, Michael, I think Africa, and you also in your introduction mentioned the free trade agreement that's been signed in principle or MOU'd in Kigali earlier this year. Africa needs to trade a lot more with itself. Along with the trade that it does with other parts of the globe. That's very underdeveloped, and we believe very strongly that there are regional opportunities in our backyard that African businesses can benefit from much more and take advantage of much more. But the government needs to help here as well in all of these countries, which is to make it a good deal easier. So the free trade agreement is a step in the right direction. It's a very necessary step, but an insufficient step to actually get there. Lots and lots of devil in the detail now as we try and actually implement that. Secondly, I think Africa has to start adding more value to what it exports and trades. Historically, by and large, as you said, Africa has been an exporter of simple commodities and an importer of finished goods. Africa has the capacity both, well, let's speak of agriculture for a second. Probably the greatest amount or hectareage of arable and unutilized land relative to many other parts of the world. Good water resources. South Africa is an exception there, as is the Sahel. But there's a huge chunk of Africa in between those two that is actually well endowed with water. Agriculture, farming is part of the kind of cultural fabric of many societies in Africa. So why isn't Africa producing more yep. food, adding more value to the food, and trading the added value products rather than trading bare commodities, you know, cashew nuts that are not even shelled, for example?
Absolutely, Salim. That is the key. Improve that intra-African trade as well, which is abysmally low. That was Salim Karamji, IFC country manager, with some reasons to be positive about the new Africa Rising narrative this Africa Day.